You already know the theme of this SOFA 2017 is leveraging food systems for inclusive rural transformation. This presentation explains why we have chosen to focus on this topic. I will essentially expand somehow more on the key points that the Director General has already put across, trying to explain the technical aspects surrounding our main messages. Let me start with mentioning a point that has already been stressed by the Director General, which is the 2030 Sustainable Agenda for Sustainable Development. In adopting the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development 2 years ago, the international community committed itself to eradicating hunger and poverty and also to achieve other important sustainable development goals. But there are important challenges ahead to achieve these aspirations and these goals. Our most recent estimate of chronically undernourished people in the world suggests that hunger may be on the rise again. So the challenges ahead are huge. This is just an example to suggest that it is not an easy road that we have to divide the interventions and policies that can help us achieve the goals. One point is that most of the hungry today live in low-income and low-middle-income countries. They still need to undergo very important structural transformations of their economies. The overarching conclusion of the report is that fulfilling the 2030 agenda depends crucially on progress in rural areas, which is where most of the poor and hungry live today. In identifying the opportunities, it is very important to draw lessons from the successful transformation that we have observed in the past. So successful transformations have taken place in East and Southeast Asia very clearly. The main drivers of these transformations in these regions have been agricultural productivity growth that is leading to a shift of people away from agriculture and into other sectors such as manufacturing, industry, and services, which of course has resulted in massive increases in per capita income, with the consequence that poverty and hunger have been reduced significantly. So it's important to pay attention to these experiences in drawing lessons going forward. You see the figure, it's quite complicated, but I'll try to make it easier for you. Basically, it shows the evolution of rural and urban poor as a share of total population. The main point out of this figure is that rural and urban poverty has been substantially reduced in the last two decades in East and Southeast Asia. On the contrary, we don't observe this pattern in sub-Saharan Africa, where poverty reduction has been only modestly reduced, even if the initial poverty rates in all these regions are quite similar to 20 years ago. So countries lagging behind in the transformation process are mainly concentrated in sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia, most of which have in common economies with large shares of employment in agriculture, widespread hunger and malnutrition, and high levels of poverty. These countries also lack an important synergy that we've seen in the countries that were successfully transforming. Their increasing urbanization does not go hand in hand with the strong growth in the manufacturing sector. And that's a critical point to understand what went wrong. As a result, people living in agriculture in what we call the late transformers are moving mostly into informal service sectors, which is characterized by low productivity and low paid, low wages. Therefore, these people are more likely to become part of the urban poor population. The bottom line is, in East and Southeast Asia, a sizable number in rural poor have exited poverty while staying in the rural areas. So rural areas are an important part of their development, of their success stories. Synergies with the urban sectors have also been extremely important. Sub-Saharan Africa and Asia, South Asia, what we call in the book the late transformers, are undergoing important changes today that we have to keep in mind. People are moving into low-paid work in informal sectors. There is limited job creation, population growth, as we know. So in the face of all these changes, there is no easy way out of poverty. At the same time, urbanization is happening. In Africa, the urban population is expected to increase by 63% between 2015 and 2030. And in Asia, it's expected to increase by 30%. So this raises an important question that we're trying to answer in this publication: how to feed a growing, more urbanized world. In addition to urbanization, we also observe dietary patterns are changing. So the evidence at the global level strongly suggests that as economic transformation proceeds, rising household incomes lead to a variety in diet. Basically, the share of non-staple foods is observed to be increasing while that of staple foods decreases. The figure that you can see in front of you shows that the share of staple foods, in this case measured by consumed calories, declines with higher level of income when we measure this by the GDP per capita level in developing countries. Due to population growth, the demand for food is also expected to increase in rural areas. So a clear message of this SOFA 2017 is that urbanization, including changes in diets, should be seen as an opportunity in rural areas. Urban demand consumes up to 70% of the food supply, even in countries with large rural populations. To many farmers, tapping into this growing domestic demand will offer a bigger opportunity than exports themselves. A central theme of the report, then, is that linking farmers to these growing domestic markets, especially smallholders, is key for poverty reduction. However, making the link is not automatic. Although urbanization provides a golden opportunity for agriculture, it will not automatically improve production and market conditions for small-scale farmers. The Director General made reference to this point in his speech. For example, more profitable markets can lead to the concentration of food production in large commercial farms and to value chains dominated by large processors and retailers. This is the path followed in some respects by some Latin American countries, as we explain in the book with more details. Also, in the late transformers, the average farm size has been decreasing, as has also been the land area per capita in rural populations. This graph shows that exactly happening for sub-Saharan Africa and South Asia. There is already extreme land scarcity in most of Asia, and rapid increases in the population, in the rural population, will further challenge access to land in sub-Saharan Africa. On top of that, as the Director General mentioned, there are all the climate change concerns. This poses a challenge for small-scale farmers in these regions to achieve productivity growth and therefore to be part of the transformation process. This raises the question, what can be done to expand the economic space of small-scale farmers? The report proposes leveraging the changes and transformations in food systems to achieve more inclusive transformations. One transformation that can include smallholders, so that they can enable poverty reduction and improve food security and nutrition. To make this feasible, the report suggests the adoption of an agro-territorial approach in rural development planning, which is an approach that reconciles sectoral policies with territorial dimensions. It looks at a territory as an interconnected rural-urban functional space and tries to balance policy interventions with infrastructure developments. Basically, hard and soft investments in infrastructure become very important. This approach can be particularly relevant in countries with rapid population growth and limited prospects for industrialization to create jobs beyond the farm. Nonetheless, in these countries, there is enormous untapped potential of food systems to achieve several things. For example, drive agro-industrial development, boost small farmers' productivity and incomes, and create off-farm employment in expanding segments of food supply and value chains. The agro-territorial approach takes into account the importance of small cities and towns, which is one of the important aspects of this report. The report shows that over 50% of the world population lives within or around small cities and towns of less than 500,000 people. Small cities or towns are therefore an important source for rural development because they are closer to rural areas and are more evenly spread around a territory. They are also important in terms of urban food demand. However, in most developing countries, public resources are disproportionately allocated to larger cities, and this happens at the expense of both rural and small towns. For the ongoing transformations to be inclusive, an improved connection of rural-urban territories is a strategy to create jobs, both in agriculture and the non-farm economy, in order to eradicate poverty and ensure food and nutrition security. Bringing this agro-territorial approach into practice will require structuring interventions according to country needs and conditions, where governments, both national and local, can choose from the commonly used agro-territorial tools. The report describes five agro-territorial tools which have fairly distinct geographic ranges, which results in differing governance models, as this figure shows. Greater public support and leadership is needed for larger investments, such as agro-clusters, agro-corridors, agro-based special economic zones, which require large connective infrastructure investments. On the other hand, private participation is a feature of smaller-scale agribusiness incubators and agroparks. Let me finish now with the key messages of the report. People can be lifted out of poverty even if they stay in rural areas. Rural areas will be important to achieve the Sustainable Development Goals. The opportunity in rural areas is associated with ongoing transformations in the food systems and the broader economy. However, we must ensure that the millions of smallholders of today and of tomorrow can benefit from these transformations by A, developing agro-industry and the infrastructure needed to connect rural areas. B, implementing public policies and investments that can bring changes in the food system, including social protection interventions. And C, adopting a territorial focus in rural development. Let me finish by thanking the SOFA team and the advisory group that had made it possible to prepare this excellent publication. And I also thank you for your attention.